And as you get yourself situated, take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we continue on here in this mini-series on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. And the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And we need to remember here that this is set in contrast. There should be a drastic difference between this lovely fruit of the Spirit and the new nature, which is created by the Holy Spirit of God within, and what the flesh produces. Verse 19 is the contrast. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace," and so on. And so you see that this our verses are set in contrast to what the flesh produces. And I want you to notice here that the sins of the flesh from verses 19 and on are called works. But the result of living in the new nature and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God is called fruit. The one is what we do and what our flesh produces, but the other is something that is produced in us, not of us. And so you see the great contrast that is here. The fruit here is something which grows as the new nature develops, as we mature in the Lord and as we are sanctified and as we yield more and more to the Holy Spirit of God. These things develop and grow. Moreover, the fruit of the Spirit is referred to as singular and not plural. Note that it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. And it could be likened unto, you know, a cluster of fruit growing together. And even though we consider them separately, the idea leans more to the idea of a cluster of fruit all working together, forming the character of one who is controlled by the Spirit of God. Do you see this? Understand this? All right? All of these attributes, all of these characteristics working together, forming the character of the one who is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. We've talked about love. The word that is translated love here is the word agape and refers to the selfless, highest form of spiritual love. It's giving of oneself for another. And this is in distinct contrast to all the works of the flesh, which are always selfish in nature. You see the contrast again. We talked about joy. That word joy is the Greek word chara, which refers to a deep, quiet joy within. It's like the still, cool water of a very deep well, as opposed to the babbling, you know, shallow water of a creek or a brook. We talked about peace, and the word peace here refers to tranquility of spirit. It refers to overruling or overpowering that which brings anxiety and anger and want into the life. Peace is the predecessor to happiness in the life. We talked about long-suffering. It refers to patience, forbearance, slowness to seek revenge. We talked about gentleness. That's a broad word. It covers a very broad spectrum. On the one hand, it can refer to integrity. It can refer to moral goodness. But on the other hand, it can refer to gentleness or a spirit of kindness. And that's what we focused on. That's what I believe it's referring to. This gentleness is kindness. All of these are things that are produced in us. They're not of us. The works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. One is what we do. That's a work. One is produced in us. It's not of us. the goodness. We talked about goodness. The word that's translated as goodness is the Greek word agathosune, and it is virtually the epitome of decency and uprightness. It simply refers to one who is good in the highest sense of thought, and there are very few characterizations in the Word of God that are greater than goodness in this sense here. And we talked about how only God is good, but God and His goodness can be produced in the child of God that is yielding to Him. We talked about faith. The word faith here is the Greek word pistis. It's the common word for faith. But here it has the sense of faithfulness more than anything else. It's basically the thought is more of the outworking of faith or putting feet to our faith rather than the principle of faith itself. And then there's meekness and temperance. And so we've covered all of this ground. But what needs to be remembered and noted is that this ninefold cluster, if you will, of fruit of the Spirit, it should be something that is typical of a Christian's life. Just like the works of the flesh are natural and typical of somebody who's under the control of the flesh, so this fruit of the Spirit ought to be something that is typical, that characterizes the life of a Christian. And Paul's purpose in writing in Galatians was to show the contrast between the ugly nature of the sin nature and the sin life versus the pleasant, priceless virtue of the new nature controlled by the Spirit of God. And he said, against such there is no law, referring to the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, what he means is there's no ruler, there's no government, there's no law. Even the Mosaic law never outlawed any one of these characteristics as opposed to the works of the flesh. You look at several of those, and they're even against man's law, the works of the flesh. But there's no law against the fruit that the Spirit of God produces. Amen. So we're going to consider meekness tonight. Meekness. Here is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. The Greek word that is translated meekness literally refers to being cool, calm, and collected in your spirit. That's really literally what it means. It talks of the discipline of the emotions. And the result of having the emotions under control and the discipline of the emotions, the result is a mild manner and a calm disposition. The core of this thought is having the emotions and the attitudes in control, especially in provocation. The time that it's the hardest, actually, to control those human emotions. And the natural result of having those emotions and those attitudes in control will be a mildness of manner. And so instead of lashing out or firing back or I'm going to tell you what for, instead of that, the emotions are under control, resulting in a mild manner. And this is what the Spirit of God produces. It is Christ-like character of which it is commanded that the children of God seek after. In other words, it is not godly, it is not of the Lord to have a short fuse that can't be controlled and poof, you lose your temper and blow up, come firing back. That is not of the Lord. That's a work of the flesh. And so this is what we're going to consider here tonight, meekness. Jesus, of course, is always the best example of each character trait. But Jesus himself said that he was meek and lowly. He claimed it for himself, and if anybody had the right to, it was the Lord, amen. He could say that in all humility. Whereas if we said, oh, I'm meek, I'm super meek, we're probably not really because we're acting in pride. But look with me. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And here we find that Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Jesus himself said that he was meek and lowly in spirit. It is something that we are to follow after. Let's talk about this meekness defined. What is it? Well, meekness, first of all, is not weakness. Meekness is actually a heart attitude that is displayed through our actions. All right, so it's not actually something that we endeavor to do in action. Meekness is actually a heart attitude, but it's displayed through the actions. Just as Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh," so it is with meekness being demonstrated in the life of a Christian. If there is evidence of meekness there, it's because it's what is in the heart. It's an attitude. Meekness means softness of temper. It means mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injury or provocation. All right, so we got the idea. Meekness, softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injury or provocation. It's not weakness, but it's a heart attitude. Meekness is actually something that is commanded in the scriptures of the saints of God. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgments. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God," because you're saved, "put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We'll talk about this in just a little while, how meekness is connected to forgiveness. But it's commanded in the scriptures to put on, as the elect of God, meekness. In other words, it's commanded of God, so it's not optional if we're going to be obedient children of God. Amen? 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Follow after having a soft temper, having a mildness and a gentleness about you, having a mildness and a gentleness in your heart, especially under injury or provocation. There are several areas in which we are to show and to practice meekness. And this is number three, meekness displayed in the Christian life. Everything, really, from restoring a fallen brother to hearing and receiving God's word being preached, requires an element of meekness. It's easy for us to do the opposite, though, by being proud, quick-tempered, even unkind. But a Christian who is under the control of the Holy Spirit of God will display meekness in areas of life because it is in the heart, if it's there. There's two main areas for us tonight. We could consider some others, but for the sake of time, I'm going to generalize these two main areas where meekness should be displayed in the life of a Christian. That should be towards others, meekness towards others. And secondly, meekness toward the Word of God. Let's consider, first of all, meekness towards others. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible shows us here that meekness towards others, it should be demonstrated towards fellow believers in general. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. All right, so you're called to walk worthy of the Lord with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we find meekness towards fellow believers in general, and it's part of walking worthy of the Lord to walk with meekness. Meekness, as I said, is a heart attitude. But this heart attitude of meekness has a direct effect on the unity of the body. Did you notice that in verse 3? We're to walk with meekness. In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the Spirit, or keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to give diligence towards. It means to work hard towards keeping the unity of the Spirit. It's directly related to this heart attitude of meekness. The reality, when it comes to a church body, hey, it's made up of a whole bunch of people. A bunch of different kinds of personalities, a bunch of different likes and dislikes, some weirdness, I'm not going to lie, some normalcy, but it's just made up of a whole bunch of different people. And this, you understand, when you start to think of it in terms like that, you really have to start to understand that this area of meekness is so vital in keeping unity in the body of Christ. The fact is that no one is better than another. Sometimes, maybe people can think that they are better than others based on what they do or who they are in the church. But it's not true. No one's better than another. All the members have value. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So under the administration or the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're baptized into that body, into that membership, that in that particular place, as it hath pleased the Lord. Okay? So verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Why? Because they all have value and purpose. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, it means division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I think the Apostle Paul made it very, very clear the importance of every member of the body. That each one has a function for God's purposes and God's glory, because God is the one who put them there. Therefore, there is not one that is better than another, and we all ought to have the same care one for another. Here's where the area of meekness is necessary because of the human fleshly tendency to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, or to imagine more importance about us than there really is. Meekness is a heart attitude of humility. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, "Put on, therefore, again, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering," look at verse 13, "forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Here we find that this meekness is connected to forgiveness. Now, when you have a whole bunch of different people and a bunch of different personalities and a bunch of different likes and dislikes and preferences and so on, it's not very hard for there to be offenses, right? If you even have one person in your life, you will find out that it's not very hard to have offenses. If you have a big family, you're going to find out rather quickly it's not hard to have offenses. When you have a big church family, meekness is required for forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary for unity. And the Word of God commands us to have this meekness towards fellow believers in general. Listen, we can never be obedient to the Lord and have this attribute of Christ developed in us if somehow we think that we're better than someone else. Meekness is important. Here's another area of meekness towards others. We need to show meekness towards erring or sinning believers. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This restoration is to be done in the spirit of meekness. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Here, the instructions towards others that oppose themselves must be done in the spirit of meekness. There's not going to be opportunity for restoration without some sort of meekness. I mean, in our flesh, in our self-righteousness, somebody messes up, oh, we just write them off. They're worthless, failures, no goods. They're not going to do anything for God. They failed once before, they did it again. There's not going to be opportunity for restoration if there's not meekness. That's why the Word of God says specifically, in meekness, in the spirit of meekness, restore such an one. And in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We're to show meekness towards unsaved loved ones. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, down through verse 5, 1 Peter 3, "One says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation," or the lifestyle of the wives, "while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." One quality of a godly lady that will win an unsaved husband is a meek and a quiet spirit. one of the things that's probably the most disturbing is a woman who doesn't have a meek and a quiet spirit. There's nothing more beautiful. The adorning, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and a meek and a quiet spirit. That is what is of great value in the sight of God. To show meekness toward unsaved loved ones, toward unbelievers in general. 1 Peter 3, since we're here, look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear in our witness. To unbelievers, it needs to be with a spirit of meekness. How profitable will it be if we were to approach someone, I'm saved, you're lost, I'm better than you, but you really need this. Sometimes Christian people can come across that way, as if we are holier than thou. And our lives might be changed by the Spirit of God and because of salvation, but we are still sinners saved by grace. Our witness to unbelievers ought to be in the spirit of meekness. And James chapter 3 teaches us that we need to have this character of meekness in our life as a testimony to all. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. It's a testimony. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. It's a testimony to all. So we have this admonition in the Scriptures. We need to have meekness in our life towards others, towards fellow believers in general, because of the need of forgiveness and the need of unity, and towards those who have fallen in the spirit of meekness, be able to restore if there's repentance and so on. And we've gone through this list. But then secondly, and lastly, we need to have this meekness toward the Word of God. Toward the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Well, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here's the work of the flesh, all right? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. That word means dirtiness. And superfluity of naughtiness. That means superabundance of depravity. He says, lay aside these things. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here we find that meekness is required or necessary when it comes to receiving the Word of God. How is it that we're a doer of the Word and not a hearer only? When we receive it with meekness. It's a serious thing to question the authority of God's Word in our lives. We talked about meekness before, actually, and we used Moses as an example of meekness. You remember that? And we showed in Numbers how Miriam and Aaron question Moses' authority given to him by God. Remember that? God had already spoken his word prior to this. But here they are questioning that, and God made himself very clear again how he felt about this situation when he judged Miriam and she became a leper. God had to speak again and say, no, my hand is on my servant Moses. God had already given his word, and he made his feelings very clear when he judged them. See, the actions of Miriam and Aaron were a reflection of their heart. What is the opposite of meekness? Well, it's pride. It's being stiff-necked, hardened heart. Meekness, in essence, is simply humbling oneself to the Lord and to His will. If Miriam and Aaron would have simply humbled themselves before the Lord, there wouldn't have been the problem. But see, they questioned the Word of God, the authority of God, and the Word of God for their own personal gain. And it was a reflection of their heart. But it's equally serious to ignore the Word of God concerning things in our lives. So let's make the application for you and for me now. Okay? It's equally serious to ignore the Word of God concerning things in our lives. Listen, we're living in a world of a do-your-own-thing kind of an attitude. And we live in this world of, you know, question this, question that. And that influence can influence the lives of God's people if we're not careful. And ignoring the Word of God concerning areas of our life has devastating consequences in the life of a child of God. When the Word of God is being preached, and maybe the Spirit of God is just highlighting something in your life, and you don't like it, and you don't want to hear it, what are you like? You go your way like the guy who looked in a mirror, who saw what he really was, and then he walked away forgetting what manner of man he was. Right? That's a person who's a hearer but not a doer. But with meekness of heart, we hear the preaching of God's Word, and there's an area of our life that's highlighted. It doesn't feel good, but with meekness we receive it and say, "You're right, Lord. And I'm not going to ignore your word concerning my life. I'm going to deal with this." Oh, it can save your soul. It brings peace to the life. But the one who ignores the word of God concerning their life, who maybe even is influenced by the attitudes of this world, questioning everything, question this, question that, they're just living by their own code. Do your own thing. That's always going to bring with it serious consequences later on. We need to have meekness toward the Word of God, to receive it, so that we can be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. We need to receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Because of our sin nature, it's not always easy to be meek. Remember, God said of Moses that he was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. Even Moses lost his temper. Even Moses had an uncontrolled spirit at times, especially when he was provoked. But on the other hand, he also submitted himself to God and let God deal with the issue and let God deal with the matter. And so we can be meek, but it's not of our doing. It's because of the Spirit of God. The work of the flesh is what we do. The fruit of the Spirit is what is produced. It's not of us. We can be meek because of the Spirit of God. And so we find that the fruit of meekness is because of the root of the Spirit of God. The more control that he has, the more humility of heart, mildness of manner, even tempered, the saint of God will be. And it'll be a reflection of Christ's character in the life of the saint. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to seek after, as the Word of God teaches us, seek after meekness. And we do that by understanding that we just need to yield more and more to the Spirit of God, to die to self even more, to put off the old man, and to put on, as the elect of God, the new man that is created in Christ Jesus. in His image. And Father, I pray that You'd cause us, Lord, to desire more and more to be like Christ. And Father, that You'd take this body and knit our hearts together with a common cause and a common purpose, simply to love the Lord with all of our heart and to bring You glory and honor. Father, may it be in the heart of each one to yield to the Spirit of God, that You might have more and more control, that we might be made into the image of Jesus Christ, and thereby bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Bless Your people. We thank You for the time we've had tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.